Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
From no prime ministers to two, both Rishi Sunak and the former PM Boris Johnson spoke at COP27 in Egypt. But a year since the UK hosted the last UN climate conference in Glasgow, the country is only investing a fifth of what's needed annually to meet the UK's net zero targets. Plus, the UK Treasury has yet to publish the long-awaited plan that actually gives the detail about how to pay for the climate transition. So someone only too well aware of these shortcomings is the chair of the UK's Independent Committee on Climate Change, Chair John Gummer. Great to have you with us, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your time once more on Bloomberg Radio. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak announced in Sharm el-Sheikh the UK will triple funding to £1.5 billion for adaptation projects by 2025. Do you think that will make enough of a difference?
Well, nothing is enough of a difference because it's such a huge operation that we have to have. But if you add this to what, for example, we are supporting in South Africa's proposals, which you covered a bit earlier on your programme, we are beginning to get a major move which takes on the work that we did in Glasgow. But there's a huge amount to do. And the thing that we have to concentrate on is getting Britain right. And the trouble is, the government has the best targets in the world. It's set the best pace in the world, but it hasn't done the work to do the delivery. And it's the delivery that I am pressing the new Prime Minister, who is a man who does deliver, and I want him to deliver on climate change.
And how much confidence do you have then, Lord Devon, that indeed the new Prime Minister and his team will deliver, as you say? And to what extent is business leading the way? And how much catch-up is there between the needs of government to implement versus what's happening on the business level?
Well, first of all, on the business level, it is very much better than it was. The big change has been, as you well know, is the huge change in the financial industry, which has now understood that climate change is a real threat to enterprise throughout the world and is getting its house in order. ESG has become really important, not just as a convenient piece of advertisement, but is absolutely central. So business is moving, not fast enough. We've still got to get some of the countries, like ExxonMobil, for example, which is merely talking, isn't actually doing anything that really needs to be done. There are a whole series of companies which we really do have to concentrate upon. But the government has really only got something just under 40% of the programme in place that it needs to meet its targets for 2030, 2035 and 2050. And by law, it has got to do that. And so I don't think that Mr. Sunak is going to avoid the legal responsibility which he has to produce that, not just because the Climate Change Committee has asked for it, but that the courts have said he's got to produce it by March.
Yes. Having said that, what sort of confidence can one have? The former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says that keeping climate change to the 1.5 degrees Celsius is still achievable. Is this kind of boosterish exaggeration damaging to Britain's climate fight?
Well, I don't think he's... I mean, no one could accuse me of being a great fan of the former Prime Minister, but the fact of the matter is that he has been right on one thing alone, I think, and that is on climate change. And I don't think there's any doubt that if we actually put our shoulders to the wheel properly, we can keep the rise down to 1.5. And we have to do that. I mean, if you think the withering summer that we have just gone through, and that was when the temperature's only risen by about 1 degree. So at the moment, we're on a direct course for about 2.5 to 3 degrees. So we've really got to get this right. And I think the government has recognised that.
I'd be interested to get your views, Lord Deb, on our international influence, even if that is arguably waning at this point. The need to ensure that we have a comprehensive plan around this issue when we're trying to convince our interlocutors, the likes of China and India, where really the dial is being moved in terms of the impact on the climate, and how much of a shortcoming there is there, that in order to convince those players, we need to have a clear strategy laid out ourselves.
Oh, well, exactly. And I keep on saying that we need to do three things. One is we have to do it ourselves and have a strategy which is quite serious and which people can see is going to work. Secondly, we have to stop worrying people about whether we're going to keep our word or not. And that is why the government really does have to look again at this Northern Irish Protocol Bill, which is going through the House of Lords, where we are proposing to break our word on our international obligations. This is unacceptable, because if you do it on one thing, how do people believe you on another thing? So that has got to be changed. And the third thing that's got to be changed is our attitude towards the poorer nations. Because when you look at the floods in Nigeria or the floods in Pakistan, these are countries which have not benefited from the pollution that we have created. Our wealth has depended on the Industrial Revolution. They have none of that wealth, and yet they are suffering from what we have done. And we've really got to change the way in which we talk, and which is why I'm very pleased with Rishi Sunak's promise to increase the amount of money we're going to give for adaptation. I think we're going to have to move much faster along those lines. Mm. And if I may say so, people on the right have got to recognise that if they're worried about immigration, then the one thing that they really ought to be fighting more than anything else is climate change. Because if it goes on like this, there will be huge populations on the move. And that will not be something that any of us are going to be able to stop.
I think that's absolutely fascinating. Just lastly, on the kind of the domestic issue, there are some bright spots. I mean, electric vehicle adoption in the UK, for example, but some really bad areas like the no progress that we've made on curbing methane gases, also the home insulation programme. The government's had, well, conservative governments have had a couple of goes at trying to change home insulation and roll out a credible, effective plan. They have failed miserably. It's one of the biggest pollution issues for Britain is kind of leaky homes. What does the government need to move on now in order to deliver?
Well, I think the home insulation is at the centre of that, not least because it's the most valuable and direct way in which you can help people in the cost of living crisis. Because if you can lower the amount of energy that they need to use, then of course you save them money at a time in which that is very, very significantly necessary. So I think moving on home insulation, putting more money for the poorest through local authorities, and also providing by association with the private enterprise means whereby people can borrow the money to make the changes that they need. Above all, going out there and explaining to people what are the best ways to move. I do think a public information campaign and an ability of people to ring up a place who will tell them how they can best deal with their particular home. That's what we need. If we get that, then we can make a big difference.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.